Good morning, Living Hope. Thank you to Christina, Darcy, and Uncle Lawrence for leading us all into worship this morning through prayer and announcements. Now, in case you're wondering, Anna and Tyson are joining me, as well as two, and Alvin and Pastor Frank. It's always good to have the presence of the people around here. Pastor Carla has been regularly emailing us for the past few weeks now, the 47 days of readings to Easter. And this is very helpful for us as we embark on this journey, you know, the footsteps of Jesus going from the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, his passion and his suffering and then death, and then ultimately his resurrection. This is very powerful for us as we reflect on it. Today is Palm Sunday, and as part of our tradition, it's being recognized is that we celebrate all over the world, Christians, celebrating a reading called the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. But in the Jewish calendar, the 10th day of Nisan, not the Nissan company, the car, but Nisan as in the month, the 10th day of the month, according to the Jewish calendar, it was a day when the Jewish families would select a lamb to be sacrificed on the 14th day of the month, which is the Passover. But interestingly, Jesus happens to be coming into Jerusalem on a donkey on this very particular day, presenting himself to the nation. So there is some significance going on here. To simply put it into words, Passover remembers the liberation that the Israelites have been experiencing in Egypt. God has been redeeming his people in Egypt. And we read in Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 13 that God instructing his people to commemorate, to remember, and to celebrate a very particular event, especially in Egypt when God brought the people out of Egypt, and then also in the story of the 10 plagues that God brought upon Egypt. One of them being an avenging angel whose job was to go from one house to another, to checking up on the Israelites' homes to see if there was any sprinkle or blood from the lamb on the doorframe. And so if there was a blood from on the doorframe, then it would mean that the angel would have to pass over. And so that's where we get the Passover from. I encourage you to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and also John as we dive into our message today, because they contain similar accounts and records of the story of Jesus entering to Jerusalem. We'll be looking at Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 39. I'm just going to be reading a few verses, because it's such a big portion of the passage, and so I encourage you guys to follow along with me so you have your Bible in front of you. Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 39. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully praising God in loud voices for all the miracles that he had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." So we're just going to end there because it's such a big passage. And we could go on to 40 and all the way to 44, but it's just a big passage. So encourage you guys to follow along with me as we learn together. As a kid growing up in a very traditional community, you know, in a faithful community, and I always got to witness, you know, as part of a celebration. Growing up, every Palm Sunday we would get, you know, branches, palm branches, as part of a decoration, and then decorating the church, and especially the aisle. You know, just being able to walk down the aisle, worshiping and yelling. This would have been the only time when you got to yell, you got to shout, you got to praise, you got to worship in a different way. But I really didn't know what the meaning behind it, the meaning behind Jesus riding on a donkey. Like, out of all the animals, why a donkey? Prior to this particular passage in Luke 9:51, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. This was Jesus' mission. The center of his mission was finally just being able to reach Jerusalem on the mountaintop. And now he knew he must face his last meal with his friends, his betrayal, his trial, and ultimately his death. And so how is he welcomed in the city? Well, of course, we're reading here. It's by joy, celebration, and also anticipation. Out of this passage, we'll be looking at two simple points today. And I want to do something a little bit different today because, you know, everyone have their own unique styles of sharing this story of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem by Jesus. So I just wanted to touch on a little bit different. Maybe you might have heard it or you have never heard about it before. But the two simple points I would like to touch on today is, first one is this. Jesus is the best promoter of the gospel. Why? Because out of all the other places like the Bethany, Capernaum, and Nazareth, Jesus chooses intentionally Jerusalem. Now Jesus had the right message, and so Jerusalem would have been, you know, the perfect place to appear if he wanted to deliver his message to a wide variety of audience. This was a perfect time, a perfect place. And so the same thing goes too with the companies like in our present days too. Companies, if you want to promote your company, if you want to go through a hiring process, and you want to, you know, get the word out there, you no longer have to go into people's house or you know, deliver newspapers. Now you can go to Indeed.com or ZipRecruiter, as you might have heard, in, you know, on the radio or even on the ads as well. If you want to promote your business or any innovative ideas, popular TV shows like Dragon Dance or Shark Tanks, you know, will be a perfect place for you to appear and promote your business because it reaches a whole wide variety of audience. So Jesus is doing exactly the same thing here because Jerusalem happens to be the center of everything, you know, all the nations, all the cities and towns will come on the pilgrims, or this was the center of where, you know, businesses, people would meet, you know, everything would take place. Jerusalem was a famous city. Now, there were a mix of people in the audience. Those who truly knew who Jesus was, because they had witnessed previously him raising Lazarus from the dead. And also those who have previously heard the rumors of the miraculous healings of Jesus from another person, all the testimonies of the witnesses. And also you have in the audience those who doubted him. And later you will see they will shout, "Crucify him, crucify him." The scripture says that Jesus was welcomed with a shout of praise. In verse 38 of Luke chapter 19, we see, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. John describes it, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." You see, Jesus, in this particular story, is literally walking down the red carpet, you know, the Hollywood version of the red carpet. Since some people would have asked among themselves too, you know, this provoked some kind of confusion and curiosity among people, people would have asked themselves, what on earth is this man doing here? Why is he getting all the attention? Like, what is so special about this man? Riding on a donkey? Is he so famous that he needs people to put down their cloaks? What about the Roman emperors or the Roman generals, the rulers? They never received this kind of attention just by riding on a donkey. Definitely not. What about Pilate? Pontius Pilate, he certainly wouldn't be getting this kind of attention either. This would have been the questions among the people, out of all the curiosity and the confusion. So Jesus knew how to present himself to the nation, just like how businesses present themselves. If you want to, you know, voice your opinions or your business or share your business with other people, you have to use the social media platforms out there. It's a common thing in our days. And so then we move on to the interesting character, and this is going to be kind of the main point of our message for today, is the character, which seems to be overlooked most of the time in this particular story, is the donkey. You know, have you ever paused and think, like, what is so significant about, you know, the donkey, right? Like, okay, donkey is, you know, the disciples, like, untying the donkey. Now he finally gets to ride with Jesus into Jerusalem. But what is so special about this donkey? In my opinion, I believe this donkey is probably the luckiest donkey in the whole world. On its back, you can see the Son of God, the rightful king, is riding on it. And you know what else is also interesting? Is that the fact that of all the characters described in this particular story, this donkey never complains. It's very cooperative. Not saying a single word. When I was a kid, I assumed that camels are more chill and quiet than donkeys, but still later did I realize that a few years ago when I went to Israel, I got too close to a camel because I didn't really like, I compare camels and donkeys, and I think my favoritism was the camels. But then when I went to Israel a few years ago, I got too close to one of those camels and it spat in my face like twice. Oh my goodness, it wasn't fun at all. No, it was so embarrassing. Anyway, there's a huge significance to this story of this camel. Like this camel, or we call it in other the Synoptic Gospels, is a colt, a young milled donkey. It has such a big significance in this story because if there was no camel, there wouldn't be no entry into Jerusalem, right? So camel has a huge significance, meaning to this story. And it brings me to the second point, and the second and last point for today. If God is able to use this donkey, he can use you and I. In Luke chapter 19, verse 30, we read that Jesus instructs his two disciples. Now, I find it interesting that the two disciples are not named here. Like, could it be James and John, or could it be Matthew and Peter? We don't really know. Now, I can imagine the questions or confusions even too going among themselves, just like what the audience, how the audience were reacting when Jesus went to Jerusalem the first time. I can imagine asking among themselves, like, what's up with us, you know, having to go untie a donkey? Like, is there some significance about this donkey? Is there something special about this little donkey? Why do the other followers get to do the cool stuff and we don't? Might have been the questions they would ask themselves. Remember that one time when Jesus made us go get some bread and some fish, you know, for the feeding of the 5,000? Or remember that one time when Peter walked on water? That was a cool thing. Like, why don't we get to do that? Instead, our job is to go untie a little donkey. And remember that one time when we had to go get those heavy jugs of water so that Jesus could turn water into wine? Like, why does Jesus get to do all this cool stuff and we don't, you know, and all those along with the other followers as well? They are told to go untie the colt, a young male donkey, which also has a significance because why would it be in the Bible? like we said earlier. In the ancient world, donkeys were used for ceremonial purposes, whereas horses would be used for war or resistance, any type of violence that is going on. So on the opposite side is the donkey. The donkey is being used to make treaties, making peace, a symbol of peace. We read this in 1 Kings and 2 Kings as well, with the story of Solomon being crowned as king, at the coronation as a king, and even King Jehu as well, riding a mule. And then the people would put down their cloaks. This is the same story that we see here in the story of Jesus here. The colt has royal associations, so it has significant meaning. Jesus riding on the donkey, you know, echoes the arrival in the in Zechariah's prophecy, as we see in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Look, your king comes to you, triumphant, victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So this was foretold. So this would have been a very common thing among the people in the audience when they greeted Jesus, you know, with all laying their clothes and palm branches, shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, glory in the highest. Great is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You know, those people would have been familiar with this particular verse in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, because they've been waiting for this messianic king to arrive, as part of anticipation to overthrow the Roman rules, the Roman Empire, the discrimination that the Jews had been experiencing for decades. The Bible says that this little donkey has been untied or has never been untied or ridden on. It needed to be untied. Wow, this has such big significance for you and I, friends. Untied. In order for this young little donkey to be used for the glory of Jesus, to help Jesus go down to Jerusalem, it had to be untied. What's interesting here is that the donkey didn't really resist. You know, it didn't run away either. It didn't avoid getting untied. And so for us, it's something to ponder, to reflect on. In order for us to let Jesus untie our struggles, we need to surrender. Just as this little donkey here. We all have our differences. We all have our own circumstances. We all have our own struggles. We're told not to surrender because we're obligated to surrender or forced to surrender. We're told to surrender freely, to let God work in our lives, just like this little donkey, not resisting anything. Surrendering freely because we long for the freedom of Christ in Jesus. The freedom, the experience, the relationship with Christ. We long to be used for the glory of God. This donkey did not protest. It simply surrendered. And so if we are to experience the same joy that the people experienced when they greeted Jesus with Hosanna, Hosanna, great is he who comes in the name of the Lord, then we need to let Jesus get a hold of our lives. So we can freely sing, Hosanna, Hosanna, great is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then we can praise him and we can worship him. I can see how disappointed the people were, since their expectation, their anticipation that Jesus was going to physically overthrow the Roman rules and abolish everything. But Jesus' mission was to establish his rule within the human hearts, his kingdom within the human hearts. Jesus didn't come to change us outwardly, but inwardly, to transform us, to be like him. And so, friends, as we often get so motivated by war and circumstances, especially with what's going on all over the world, our response is to wish some kind of justice, revenge on the unjust, on what's going on. What does Jesus call us to do to continue to be like him, to work for peace and reconciliation? And sometimes it's very hard, especially with the what's going on in Burma right now with the military coup. We so long for one day when democracy would thrive, when all nations will be united, when the military dictators will be eliminated. But until then, we continue to pray for the peace and reconciliation to come upon Burma and elsewhere in the world. We are encouraged to pray that everyone in Burma will come to know Jesus Christ, to come to see the light, the glory of God, to be drawn near to him. We are encouraged to pray to also ask for the will of God to be in line with our will. If we are to let Jesus to liberate us from our circumstances, our will and his will have to align. And so in conclusion, it's part of a little reflection here. What aspect of my life and your life needs to be untied in order for me to experience Jesus or to be used for his glory? Sometimes we ask ourselves, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. I'm not that very important. I'm the least in my family. No. We're reading the story here, with the story of this little donkey here. Such a big, significant story. A character. Think about anything that hinders your relationship with Jesus, your relationship with your family and your spouses. Is there anything in the way of your relationship with those people? For me, coaching has been very encouraging with Cam Taylor, my main coach, who has been very encouraging to me, keep me accountable, because he challenges me, you know, especially with my relationship with my wife as well. Sometimes I will get caught up with so much into the social media. We will go out on a date and then have a dinner, and then I will look at my phone and I forget to communicate with her. It's the little things that count as well. Sometimes you have to take the little things, the little steps, and then go from there. Do you think that this God who created everything in perfect order, chronological order, is worthy of surrendering our lives to? Knowing that this donkey was preselected with huge significance, knowing that the two disciples who were not named in this particular story are also instructed, commanded to go untie this donkey, doesn't it encourage you that God uses ordinary people like you and I? Of course, yes, and I say amen to that, because we all have our own parts. We all play a part in God's kingdom. God can use you and I. So after this observation of truth from this passage, we can indeed say that God is worthy of following and obeying. So lessons from today is that Jesus is the best promoter of the gospel, period. And then there are some lessons that we can learn from the story of the donkey as well as the two disciples of Jesus. Learning to surrender. So my friends, I encourage you, I encourage everyone, all of us, to continue to surrender, to ask God without resistance for God to work in our lives, in our family, in our country, in Burma, through the power of his Holy Spirit. I would like to invite Anna and Tyson right now to lead us into a benediction. Thank you, friends, and we'll see you again next time.
Thank you, Bless, for your passage on Palm Sunday. And we just want to remind you that there's a Zoom link that you can join after the service, and you can chat with Frank and other members of the congregation. And Anna will do the benediction.
And as we go on to this week after Palm Sunday, I encourage all of us to reflect on this verse, Isaiah 53, verse 3. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care.
Have a good week, everyone.
Bye.